All right, as we jump into the end of the text this morning, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 6, and I'm going to invite up Avery Walker, who is our intern for the summer, working with the student ministry, doing a fantastic job. If you have not gotten to know her yet, you definitely want to get to know her, and want to invite you up, come and read the passage for us. Open up your Bibles, it'll be on the screen behind us. And then we'll continue.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field that is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen. Thanks, Avery. I'm going to tell you something you already know. We live in a world of worry. And if you don't know that, worried my mic is going to pull off right there. If you don't know that, read the news or watch the news or hop on your favorite social media and you will have a friend that you haven't seen for decades and decades, and they will be more than happy to tell you what you should be worrying about right this minute. And after they do, then another friend you haven't seen for decades and decades will comment on the worry they mentioned and tell you why that worry isn't the worry you really should have. You should worry about this instead of that. And on the worry goes. Some of you in here are more inclined to worry than others are. And you know who you are. Or if you don't know who you are, I guarantee you your spouse knows who you are. And if you will ask them and they're brave enough to tell you, they will let you know, you worry a little bit. Some of you go to bed with anxiety playing in your head about the things you did and didn't do, the conversations you had and you didn't have. Some of you would not know how to start a day if you did not wake up with a little bit of that churning in your stomach and that sense of, it's not going to be enough. I'm not going to be able to do enough. I'm not going to be able to have all the conversations I need to have or do all the things I need to do. I'm not going to be able to carve out the time for that prayer or the service or the study that I want to do. I'm not going to be able to get the kids to everything they need to do and still do all the things I need to do and still be the person I feel like I need to be, the worker, the spouse, the parent, the church member, on and on. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. And some of you are the kind of worriers that if you find yourself in a moment where you're not worried, well, that makes you worried. Oh no, I must be forgetting something. I must be overlooking something. What is this peaceful, easy feeling that is coming over me? It's unsettling. Surely there's something I won't be prepared for if I'm not worried right now and all the time. So into our world of worry, Jesus speaks invitations for calm. and comfort. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Deep breaths. If we will let them, these words, this message, this idea can be healing and hopeful and reassuring and reaffirming and reorienting. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we take Jesus' invitation to worry less, and then we turn that in the ways that we talk to ourselves or the ways we talk to others, and we turn it almost into like an angry imperative. The old, you better stop worrying or I'll give you something to worry about, which always works, right? And sometimes with the best of intentions, we take words like this that are intended as a blessing to build us up and to better our thinking, and we turn them into a burden where we beat ourselves up, where we beat others up. Oh, great, not only do I worry too much, but now I'm worried that I worry too much, and I'm worried what that says about my faith, that I can't stop worrying. And of course, that worries me. I want to show you a clip. It's an old one, but it's a good one. It's got the comic actor some of you are very familiar with, Bob Newhart. And he is playing a therapist, and there is a woman who comes in to talk with him. And she's really struggling with a very particular anxiety. And, well, let's watch.
Tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are. Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, IT.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it!
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go.
Well, the video goes on, but you get the idea. So how useful is that instruction? Like, that would be nice, right? If we could just look ourselves in the mirror and say, stop it. Or it would be nice if someone else could just grab our shoulders and say, stop it. And sometimes that's the tactic we've taken. Sometimes that's the approach that we have with all kinds of struggles, in all kinds of things that we battle, in all kinds of sin. But one of the fundamental messages of the gospel is that we can't just stop it. We can't do it all on our own. We need the help of God. We need what Jesus came to offer. We need the work of the Spirit. We need one another in our lives. And we've got to put some serious work into things. And even with all of that, sometimes we'll struggle. Dealing with worry can be very complex. Dealing with anxiety can be very complex. And something like chronic anxiety is not so easily eliminated. Reducing worry takes work. And sometimes we need the help, not just of friends and not just time in prayer, but we also need the help of professionals who can walk with us and help us and guide us in that. And if you find yourself in that place, there's no shame there. And let me also say that worry can be both natural and actually beneficial. God created our fight or flight instinct for a reason. Sometimes we got to get going. We got to get moving. We need that extra rush of adrenaline to help us deal with what's going on in our life. So, for example, if you've followed the news over the last couple of weeks and the frightening story of those teens in Thailand, on the soccer team, who wandered into the cave, and then all the rains have started and the floods have come, and they hadn't been able to get out, although I know this morning two have gotten out. I don't know where it is over the last couple of hours. But I don't know how you could be a parent in that situation and not be worried. I don't know how you could be one of the rescuers and not be worried. It's hard to be a fully functioning human being and not be worried about a situation like that. If you did not worry a little bit, that may be a sign that you're a sociopath or something's going on with your heart. It's not able to function quite properly. So it's not to say that all worry is always wrong, but what Jesus is reminding is a couple of things. One, not everything is on that scale, although sometimes we act like it is and we feel like it is. And I think what he's also reminding is it's not healthy or helpful when we surrender our life to worry, when we allow worry to take the wheel, for anxiety to become a perpetual state of mind. Fight or flight is good for a moment, but it's not where you want to live. Worry as a way of life is a dead-end street. It won't add a single hour to your existence. So in our Chicken Little, the sky is falling world, when sometimes it's not, Jesus offers an invitation. Don't give in to worry as a way of life. There is a better way. There is a more peaceful way. There is a more purposeful way. And one of the ways that we start to move away from obsessive and unhealthy worry is to start to change our focus, to gain a different perspective, to develop and work on developing new eyes. Now, if you were with us last week, then that's going to sound familiar because Jesus is continuing a conversation in this passage that we started last week, where he was talking about our obsession over money and material goods. And he tells us, here's the key, when your eyes are healthy, when you're looking at the right things in the right ways, then your heart is full of life. But when your eyes are unhealthy, when they're filled, for example, with coveting, or they're always looking for and finding the negative, when your eyes are unhealthy, then your heart is full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? So Jesus says we shouldn't spend so much time and energy worrying about lesser things. For example, what you will eat or what you will drink. And we say, we know a little bit about worrying about what we eat and what we drink. Our culture knows a lot about worrying about these sorts of things. It is, after all, the season for calorie counting and getting beach body ready. Our culture agrees with Jesus when he says, you shall not live by bread alone. But mostly we agree because we would say, yeah, that's way too many carbs, Jesus. We're right there with you. That is not a good diet. That's kind of the opposite of where we're going these days. We're a little more paleo, a little less carb. And Jesus says, don't spend so much time and energy focusing on your body and what you will wear. And we say, we know a little something about focusing on our body and what we will wear. Our culture knows a lot about focusing on the body and what we will wear. Because fashion is always changing and trends are always changing. And most of us have closets that are filled to the brim, and yet we have those moments where we stand in wonder and confusion, and we look at a full closet and we say, I have nothing to wear. Which is a fascinating place to be. This is what I find even more fascinating in this passage. I suppose it's possible that Jesus was talking when he gives this sermon to people who are very much like us, who have a little more discretionary money than they sometimes know what to do with, and so they consume themselves with worry over consuming a little too much food and drink and gaining a little extra weight than they prefer. And I suppose it's possible that the crowd he is talking to is worried about the latest fashion trends. You know, skinny togas are really in this year. High-waisted skinny togas, relaxed fit togas, that was really last year. But more likely, Jesus is looking over a crowd that is largely filled with people who are living on the edge from day to day and week to week and month to month. A little more hand-to-mouth kind of existence. Manual laborers and day laborers, servants and slaves, and people who work small farms. And he's talking to these people who don't have a lot of extra at their disposal, who are concerned, will I have enough to feed my family for the day, for the week? Will we have adequate clothing for what's to come? And yet, the words of hope and faith that he offers them, which are orienting to them, can be that much more orienting and rearranging of our perspective if we will let them. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, is used for fuel, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Here's the phrase I'm trying to grab onto. I hope that you'll grab onto. How much more? Meditate on that when you're feeling anxious. How much more valued are we than the birds? How much more valued are we than the flowers? And how much more do we need to grab on to a message like this when we're not, most of us, living day to day and week to week and hand to mouth? Perspective. New eyes. Refocused vision. Hopeful perspective is a critical antidote for anxiety. And I want you to notice one other thing, a second path to reducing worry. And again, I'm not suggesting for those of you who struggle with and wrestle with chronic anxiety that this is all there is. It's going to take some work, and it may take some help, but there's some things that all of us can do. And part of it is to recognize that it won't be simple. And rarely is it ever enough to simply look ourselves in the mirror and say, stop it. Or look at someone else and say, stop it. Often what we need is an alternative path, an alternative approach. We need replacements. And Paul helps us find a replacement for worry when he says this in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Now, if he stopped right there, that'd just be like saying, stop it. But he offers an alternative path. But instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When worry strikes, pour your energy into things that might be more productive, like prayer. Pour your thoughts into thanksgiving. Look for reasons to give thanks. That doesn't mean you get everything that you pray for, but peace comes in the midst of God's presence. And peace comes in that change of perspective. Peace comes when we gain a new focus and we engage ourselves in more productive activity. And Jesus offers a replacement in this verse. He doesn't just say, stop it, or don't get stuck in worry. He says, get moving, start living for God's purposes, His righteousness, His justice. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That word for seek is in the present tense in Greek, which means it's continuing action. In other words, this isn't a one-time decision. This isn't a one-time commitment. This isn't about, well, I got baptized once. I said I was going to seek first the kingdom, and then you get on with life. No, the idea is that every day, every hour, we are seeking first the ways of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God. We are seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, His justice in the world. Seek first the kingdom, and God is going to continue to be there for you, to care for you. After all, as wonderful as the birds and the flowers are, how much more loved are you? And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and His justice. And you will also find that you become a part of God's caring provision for others around you. It's interesting that in this passage He says, don't worry about what you eat and drink and what you wear, because God will provide for you. It's at the end of Matthew where Jesus says, let me remind you, when you see someone who's hungry and you give them something to eat, and when you see someone who is thirsty and you give them something to drink, and you see someone who's naked or doesn't have proper provision and you give them clothing, it's not just them that you serve, it's me. We not only trust in God to be the provider, but when we seek first the kingdom, then we join God in His compassionate provision to those around us as well.